Okay, good evening, YouTube. What is going on, YouTube? Welcome back to FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, we've had a very busy weekend, have we not?
I feel like I need a nap, to be honest. I got in.
You have literally come back in from Spurs about
20 minutes ago.
Something like that.
I'm done.
Well,
I need a nap.
After going to Liverpool as well yesterday, we went to the Liverpool game yesterday, which was awesome. Loved going. My first time back at Anfield since pre-COVID. Absolutely loved the game. Brilliant atmosphere. Right result. Everything was great. I tell you what, that's a journey from where we are, isn't it? Getting up to Liverpool from where we are, just outside of London, is a journey, guys. What a mission that was.
We were out of the house for 13 hours.
Oh, and what we didn't factor in was a lot of things we didn't factor in. First was, there's Palace fans going up to Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, there's Arsenal fans going up to Burnley.
Yeah.
Thirdly, there's Southampton fans going up to Man City. Fourthly,
there's just London people going to Man City as well and Liverpool.
There's a lot of Scousers and, so a lot of Liverpool and Man City fans going up that way as well, including us. There's all the students going to uni.
Yeah, it's uni back day, isn't
Shout it? Out uni students if you went to uni. If this is your first weekend at uni, good luck. Hope it goes well for you.
We just counted the cars, didn't we, that were laden with
every car
like
had loads
toasters
of stuff
and
in
duvets.
So the point of that ramble is, oh my God, the roads were so busy. And we had about a 5.5 hour journey up to Liverpool. We left home at about 9:30 a.m. And I thought we had loads of time. I thought we'll get to Anfield. We got time for
supposed to be 3.5 hours.
I thought we got time for a pie and a beer. We'll go to the shop. We'll just have a little mooch around Anfield. No, we got bum in seat at 3:01, didn't we? We were running up the stairs as they were singing the pre-match "You'll Never Walk Alone."
You try getting a seven-year-old to run up seven flights of stairs, going,
so
"Come on, come on!"
Oh my God, it was such a journey. And then going back, we stopped in, because this is the 24/7 rock star lifestyle that we live.
Oh yeah, we're cool.
We stopped in Keel Services for a bit
of a shout out to Keel Services.
Shout out Keel Services. No, actually, no shout out to Keel Services, because do you know what? I had to remortgage my bloody house to get a Burger King in there.
But
how expensive was that Whopper? Absolutely ridiculous.
But
£33 for a chicken royale.
Keel Services last night was evidence that football fans can live in harmony, because it was full of Liverpool fans, Man City fans, Palace fans and Arsenal fans.
Yeah, loads of fans in Keel Services.
Everybody.
That's the one to go
in
to.
Harmony, eating their KFCs or Burger King.
That's it.
No one was arguing. The Man City fans were a bit,
A lot of tired children, though.
The Arsenal fans looked all right with themselves. Yeah. The Palace fans, they looked a bit like, we've had a nice day out. and the Liverpool fans were happy, and I was there kind of going, yeah, it was being quite fun. And then Max loudly announced to everyone in the middle of Anfield, does it matter if I'm a Spurs fan here, Mummy?
Yeah, that was awkward. Middle of the centenary stand. That was a bit awkward. But
does
anyway,
anyone know I'm a Spurs fan? No, shush.
Anyway, nice day out. Loved it. Really, really great to be back at Anfield. And then you today, not happy about just going to Anfield for Saturday. Sunday, over to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Literally got in 20 minutes ago. It's still a bit raw. Give us your raw feedback on the game.
I'll do that. But first of all, honestly, even forget the result for a minute, I've absolutely loved this weekend. Like, I know
it's been crazy, I know it's been really busy,
but sitting in Anfield yesterday and then sitting in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium today, honestly, it's made my year.
And you know what, from an FPL perspective, I feel like I've got either a real detailed insight into some games and absolutely nothing in others. I feel like my FPL advice might be quite lopsided tonight. And what I mean by that is,
we haven't watched a lot.
Liverpool game, I can tell you a lot about that. I can tell you a lot about the Wolves game, because we listened to that in detail on the way up to Liverpool.
And Villa.
And Villa on the way back. I was a bit knackered, to be honest with you, but I can give you a bit of a feel for it. But like, outside of that, I've not really watched a lot of football. And obviously you can from Spurs. So give us a bit of a raw feedback on Spurs and how that went today.
We've got a Liverpool cushion as well, if anyone cares now. Two cushions. First half, it was a game of two halves for me. The first half, I thought we were better. Chelsea weren't bad by any stretch. It was a really good first half. It was end-to-end stuff. Chelsea had opportunities. We had opportunities. I thought we just edged it.
Right.
Second half, and this is where management is so important, Chelsea came out like they'd had a rocket from Tuchel at half time. We came out like we'd had a cup of soup around a fire and a little chat.
Yeah.
And they walked out and it was like Spurs forgot how to care, and Chelsea were, like, forget Tottenham for a minute. Chelsea were great in the second half. Kante, when he took Mason Mount off, I was like, oh, this is ballsy from Tuchel. Like, this
but
is...
Tuchel said that in the post-match. He said, I wanted to send a message to the players. And the message was, I'm not afraid to take you off. Even if you're Mason Mount, key man, I'll take you off if you're not showing enough
energy.
And
I'll tell you something.
And Kante was great.
The whole game changed when Kante came off. And the whole of the South Stand where I was sitting were like, yeah, Kante's made such a big difference. Look, Chelsea deserved to win the game. In the second half, we were not there. Harry Kane was woeful today.
Oh, we're going to talk about him a bit later on. Good Lord.
Sonny, great to see him back. I tell you what, though, defensively in the first half, we were quite good. Eric Dier was, you can hear him. Like, I'm like 40 rows up in the South Stand, and I can hear him shouting at the others. And I thought, yes, Eric Dier, that is what we missed last week. The second half, I can still hear him.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, you could see that they'd not been trained. Like Lo Celso, Romero, Sanchez, they've not been with the squad this week. There's got to be a change at Spurs. I'm not sure we'll get 2 years of Nuno.
Ooh, okay. Why not? Do you think he's the problem?
No,
I don't think he's the problem.
I don't think he's the problem. But I watched the game today.
I think the number 10 is the problem.
Oh, I think the number 10's the massive problem.
I go back to the All or Nothing documentary, right? We watched that, and that I remember watching that and thinking Dele Alli's the one. I don't know why I got him in the FPL team at the start of last season.
Dele Alli was quite good in the first
terrible
half.
Terrible idea.
It was all right.
It was fine, right? But listen, it was clear from that documentary, and it's clear just following Spurs as a, you know, by proxy, as I do, being married to you, that the team feeds from Harry Kane. There is no doubt he is the talisman of your team, and the team feeds from him. When he's good, the team's good. When he's shrugging his shoulders and got his head down like he has today, it had an impact on the whole team.
But what was really interesting is that he had his head down the whole game. So in the first half, he was just as bad as in the second half. And I was really annoyed in the first half with him, not with everyone else. I'll tell you who was brilliant in the first half. Højbjerg, who was dragging them all along and is starting to become the voice that Harry Kane should be.
Yeah.
He's kind of stepping up.
He was massively at fault for one of the goals, though.
He was.
Massively
but equally,
at fault. Didn't go out to the ball on the... was it the second goal, I think? Shocking.
Totally. But look at what was happening. I mean, bless you, I sent you off to a birthday party, so you didn't even get to watch it. But
had to go to a five-year-old, six-year-old
birthday
party.
He was everywhere, Højbjerg, today, and he was doing the things that Kane should have been doing. Kane, I don't even know where he was. It was basically like we played the game with 10 men. And we sat there around the guys that I regularly sit with when I go with my mum, and I was like, this is a massive problem, because you came out, Harry Kane, and you said, they won't let me leave, but I will play for the badge this year. This year, I'll give it my all. F off, have you given it your all?
He's not doing it.
You haven't.
He's
you
not
haven't
doing it.
Given it all your... So you either do one of two things, Harry. You take a seat on the bench and let Scarlett play, because quite frankly, he'd do a better job than you right now. Or leave him at the training ground and don't bring him at all. You get your head up. Because this is ridiculous.
I'm interested to hear from Spurs fans. If you're in the live chat, if you're watching the replay, get in the comments below. What's going on with the club? What's going on with Harry Kane? Because there's no doubt he's lost it. His head is gone. And it wasn't just today. In recent games, his body language is wrong, and it's sending the wrong message to the rest of the team. No doubt about it.
Son was brilliant today, but he can't...
He wasn't brilliant.
No,
he was.
He was.
Okay.
You watch him, and he was. He was back too soon for a start, because he kept feeling himself. That sounded terrible.
He kept checking his injury, I think you should say.
Oh my God, that was terrible.
Clip it.
Don't clip it. Some was better, but Kane, sort your life out, mate.
Not good. I think the fans are starting to turn on him, because certainly
they booed him today.
A few weeks ago, you were all about it. He's staying, he's come out on social media, I'm going to do my best, all the rest of it. And I said to you at the time, BS, because he skipped training, he wanted the move, he's come out and it's proven to be...
At the end of the game today, the players came, most of the stand had gone. He led it and he was clapping and they booed him.
Nonsense.
And then he left. Nonsense. And as he walked away, Eric Dier followed around him and clapped and everyone cheered for Dier. And I thought, that should tell you everything, Harry Kane. Sort your life out. You're here at least until January. Do something about it.
Do something about it, Harry Kane. And we'll talk about lack of striker at Manchester City a bit later on, because if ever there was a player that needed a move and a club that needed a player like Harry Kane, there is a match made in heaven. That transfer should have happened in the summer. For whatever reason, Daniel Levy, it didn't. And now both sides Both sides are suffering, no doubt about it. So more on City a bit later on. I assume we all did the same thing.
What?
When Salah scored. Yeah, keep your shirt on, Mo.
What's brilliant about this moment, so we're in the Anfield, we're in the Centenary stand, Salah scores, Liam Max jump up.
Oh, I was loving it.
And I turned to Liam, the first thing I said was, put your shirt on! I was so annoyed. Because in my head, that's two FPL points. I needed those FPL points. Salah, what are you doing?
Well, we are going to talk about your team a bit later on and my team. Interestingly, I was in a bit two minds last week as to whether to wildcard. I did wildcard. You wildcarded as well. We've both had a shocker. We'll talk about that a bit later on. I don't think I've played a worse wildcard since the dawn of FPL time. Since I started playing it. No, since I started playing it, I don't think I've played a worse wildcard. I had 9 players play this week. Nine players. Didn't even field an 11.
But this week's been a nightmare, hasn't it?
Like, well, forget that. I've played my wild card and I've got 9 players out. Yeah, that in any week is a shocker.
You couldn't... What I mean by that is you couldn't have known that. So on Friday night, when the team... When you had to lock in your team, we both knew we were blocking out Antonio. So we only had 2 subs on the bench. Yeah. There is no way on this planet that I looked at that team and thought I'm going to lose...
Trent being ill's killed it a little bit, no doubt about it. But I took risks with my wildcard. Talk about that a bit later on. I took risks with my wildcard, which actually in any given week is probably going to be okay because I've got bench coverage. But this week I didn't because I've kept faith in Antonio. And don't get me wrong, I'm happy to do that because he's coming back against a pretty shocking looking Leeds defence next week. I'm happy to do that. But this week it's cost me big time. It's cost me big time. More on that a bit later on. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam, including some super chats, which I've missed. So I'm going to go back.
I think one's from Tips, so just miss that one.
The one is probably from Tips,
it's
no
from
doubt.
Tips. Just ignore it.
Daniel Henkel, thank you for the super chat. 84 points, which is so good. Tony off the bench and Rudiger back-to-back clean sheets. There is no doubt, Sam, that
it's not just a clean sheet for Rudiger, they got goal.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that this week, if you kept patience with a few of your FPL assets, like Tsimikas, like Tony, like Benrahma. If you kept patience with these guys, it's absolutely paid off. Yeah. So, not the week, therefore, for wholesale changes on a wildcard, one would suggest. Tips is in. There is a super chat.
We don't care what Tips has got to say.
I'm not going to read it out, but he does say 86 all out, which is a fantastic score to Tips, Harry.
Well done, Harry.
Brilliant, brilliant score, mate.
I'll give you a well done for that.
He's having a very good start to the season, by the way.
Does he want to give me some advice? Maybe I should tune into his YouTube channel.
If you need some decent FPL tips, there's a YouTube channel you need to go and subscribe to, FPL Tips. Cy Burdett, thank you for the super chat. Time to bring in Harry Kane's nan instead. There's all sorts of Harry Kane banter going on in the live chat, Sam, which I think is to be expected. Given
Harry Kane's
6-month-old
could do a better job.
It was bad today. It was bad. Business Cat is in. Hey, Business Cat, how are you doing? James Ward is here. Very nice to see you. Adam Carroll is here. 56 points.
That's very
big
good.
Red arrow down from 7K.
Still
to
very
20K.
Good this week.
I'm not sure it is, Sam. I'm not sure. 50, well, I think 56 right. is about average.
In my world, that's very good this week.
In your world, it's good. But I think in the overall scheme of things, it's pretty average. Mohar Mock is saying 71 all
that's
out,
good.
Despite Trent missing out. That's a pretty good score, I'd suggest. Scott Schrager is in. He says, nice score, Harry.
Oh,
it's a very good score. Very good score. Harry, let's see what you got, Scott, as well. Gopal is in. He says, 42 points. Bench Tony and White, which cost me 19. It does seem to be quite a big swing. Even Ben Swain is in saying 52, shocking week. If you've got anything in the 50s, you might well sit here, Sam, and say that's a good score, but it's not, it's a reality.
Anybody that's wildcarded in the last 2 weeks, though, probably didn't have the best week this week.
Possibly.
Because the players that we took out, the likes of Benrahma, the likes of Tony,
yeah,
likes of White, are the ones that have actually performed this time around. Although White was very lucky to keep his clean sheet because that should have been a penalty.
It should have been a penalty. A lot of VAR controversy. I think largely the Premier League and the games have done a pretty good job of swerving VAR controversy in the first 4 game weeks. But we have plenty of it in game week 5. More on that a bit later on, because that Man City, that Southampton penalty.
They should be hard done
by. Got to be a penalty, that, isn't it? Got to be a penalty. Azzy is in with the super chat. The Smiths 1986. Thank you, Azzy, for the super chat. He says, let's have just a word for Spurs legend Jimmy Greaves. There was obviously a bit of sadness around the Spurs game today, not least because of the performance. But Jimmy Greaves, what was he, 86?
Honestly,
one of the all-time greats, no doubt.
Honestly,
about it.
Though, it wasn't sad. It was honestly so lovely. It was really like a really nice trip down memory lane, and they had all the legends out, and it was lovely, and he was remembered really nicely. And outside
Good,
the stadium,
as he should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And because, of course, he played for Chelsea as well, so it was unanimous around the stadium. Yeah.
An impeccable sense of timing from Jimmy Greaves, a player that was had an impeccable sense of timing on the pitch, didn't he? He was just incredible.
And actually outside the stadium, and one thing I will just shout out to the Chelsea fans for, outside the stadium there became a little shrine to Jimmy Greaves and people were taking flowers and putting their scarves and their things. And I saw a Chelsea fan go up and put some flowers down and I thought, well done you, because he was just as much of a player for them as he was for us.
Thank you, Cy Burdett, for your second super chat. Much appreciated, mate. He says, I scored 67 points, which is, I think, not bad. Pretty good week. My wild card did me no favours, though. I would have been better off losing my login details.
I wish I had.
Yeah, very good. I'm beginning to wish I'd lost my login details as well, to be honest with you. Although I don't think my previous, I don't think my pre-wildcard team would have done much better, to be honest. I think they both did pretty badly.
Well, mine would have been better.
Caleb is in. He says, thoughts on Jota starting next week? We'll talk about Jota and Liverpool a bit later on, Caleb. Eddie Casey is in. Dean, you hold or sell? If you ain't sold him yet, I would suggest selling him.
So let's not talk to me about
that
Dean.
That was the only thing that brightened up your week, wasn't it? The Dean, your own goal, having sold him on the wild card.
So yesterday, as we mentioned, we were driving back from Liverpool. We were listening to Aston Villa Everton on the radio. And I was quite nervous at one point because it was quite touchy at the beginning, wasn't it? And I was thinking, God, don't let Everton clean sheet, because if they clean sheet and I've sold Dean, it's going to like ruin my weekend. Only for then him to score an own goal. And honestly, I've never felt such a sense of
relief
and happiness in my whole life at somebody scoring an own goal. Just sell him. You will not regret it.
Sai is saying, Dean, you're solid as a pasty. Very nice. Abhishek is in. Thank you for the super chat. Chelsea FC Premier League champions. Also 60 points for Abhishek, so not a bad week. Let's start, Sam, with our review of the week, talking about a team that just get better and better every week.
What, Spurs?
It's definitely not Spurs. It's the Chelsea boys. We've already done our chat about Spurs. I don't want to talk about those guys too much more, but I do want to talk about Chelsea, because I think what you said at the beginning of the live stream was absolutely spot on. Tuchel, half time, they lacked energy, Chelsea, no doubt about it. And I know what you're saying. Spurs were good in the first half. I thought they were okay, but I thought Chelsea really needed a bit of a shot in the arm. And Tuchel at half time said, I don't care who you are, Mason Mount, get over here, get off. And Kante, come on. And yeah, I hear you, Kante did play well. But the message it sent to the rest of the team, they just all up their game 10% in the second. I don't think he did.
I think he did.
I think he probably bought Mason Mount off. And that was a silent rocket.
Well, I don't know, because at one point they were 2-0 up. And he, honestly, I was watching him. He was sat down. One of them, and I can't even think who it was now, lost the ball. And he went mental. Like, he flew across the dugout, out into his technical area, and he was screaming across. I think it was Thiago he was screaming at.
Yeah.
He was absolutely screaming at him. And Thiago's looked at him, and I thought, you've got that in you. And I don't think he needs to do it that often. But because they know he will, they up their game.
Yeah.
And they upped their game massively again from that moment. So I mean, I rated him anyway. But having watched him and the way that he dealt with his team today, he's a phenomenal manager.
They are so good, Chelsea, at the minute. I must admit. I can't see City beating them next week, I'll be honest.
No,
I think they're going to send a statement out, Chelsea. They've got they're so rock solid in defence, Chelsea. Yes. And City are, on their day, absolutely combative teams. No doubt about it, we've seen it. But they do seem to be lacking a bit in front of goal right now.
Yeah.
And you can't, at the minute, against Chelsea, you need to be fit and firing in front of goal.
Yeah.
I struggle to see where the Man City goal's coming from against Chelsea next week. And I also back Chelsea. They will find it hard to beat Man City, no doubt, because City have been very defensively solid so far this season.
Got some problems defensively, though.
Well, possibly. Yeah, possibly.
Injury-wise, I mean.
I just back, it's at Stamford Bridge as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just back them to beat them. And then And then you're thinking about, right, Chelsea, they've done the first six game weeks. And I think at the beginning of the season, we were all a little bit like, let's wait and see on Chelsea, because the opening six fixtures were so tough. And they have been tough. They've played all their top sides, right?
Yeah.
Yet here they are on the cusp of a run of five games between 7 and 12, which are quite honestly the best run I've ever seen for a team in FPL. If you're not going triple Chelsea from game week 7, I think you have to consider it without doubt. And there will be a lot of wild cards being played in game week 7 for that exact reason. And right now, I would absolutely consider the double up at the back.
Yeah.
That's probably the route I'd go. But Chelsea, having played those six game weeks where we're thinking, tough starts to the season, they're top of the league. And I'll back them to beat City as well next season. They have got absolutely everything. And I don't see, I don't see anybody beating them to this league. And I've said it since game week one. I thought they looked really good. I'm not changing my stance. I think they're going to win this league. They're really, really good. Thoughts?
I can't disagree with anything that you just said.
From an FPL perspective, though, so which of the three? That's what I think people are looking for. It's got to be Rom, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't.
Any worries from today's performance?
No
FPL points.
No, because he should have got.
Yes.
He made plenty of opportunities for everybody else. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of the opportunities he gave to Werner, who just is Werner.
When he came on, yeah, there was a bit of that.
So there was a few of them. He also made a few opportunities. He's so good at holding the ball, taking it down, feeding it off to other people. He'll get assists this season as well as multiple goals. He had a couple of opportunities where he should have scored and didn't. But he'll come good, that's fine. I think the question I have more is about, if you're going to triple up, how are you doing it? Because those midfield players are getting rotated around quite a lot.
Do you think Mason Mount is a problem after today? Because I don't think he is. I think he was used to make a point by Tuchel today.
Yeah,
I don't see it being a massive problem.
He didn't play last week either. And this worries me a little bit with him now, because that's part of the reason I got rid of him on wildcard, is because he didn't play last week.
Got so many good options, Chelsea.
That's it. And actually, Havertz played quite well today. He had a few good opportunities. Then he got taken off as well. Kante obviously came on and was good. It's hard to pick there. And
how good is Kovacic last few weeks as well?
Absolutely. So it's very hard to pick in the midfield because they've got so many options they can rotate around, which makes picking three difficult because I'm not sure who's guaranteed to play in that position. And then when you look at the defence, again, you're in a place where it's like, well, Mendy's out at the moment, so they play Kepa today, but that's not going to last long term. And you don't think you're going to want to spend the level you've got to invest in Mendy when you could go with other cheaper options. You might, but I don't think you are.
And even at centre-half, he bought in Thiago Silva today.
Played Thiago Silva today.
But Rudiger looks
Rudiger's the safe one.
He's the safer. And to be honest,
and he was great today.
He's been great since he came to the club. I think he's a fantastic defender.
He was very good today. And actually, you know, I was planning to go Reece James for game week 7, but that I don't know that I can now. That's a couple of benchings for him so far. Obviously, the Alonso thing is still playing out in the back of my mind. He was good today, but there is this thing about Chilwell in the background, and I know he's out because of his mental health and all of that kind of stuff, but at some point I would expect him to come back and get game time, whereas with Rudiger, I feel like he's safe. And this is the only thing that puts me off troubling with Chelsea, is I feel like you can go Lukaku, you can go Rudiger, but picking a third is always going to be a little bit of a risk.
Yeah. And even if you go to keeper, that's annoying today. I think Mendy had a little bit of a
niggle,
and he doesn't want to risk him. But the fact that he can just drop in Kepa there, no problem. I mean, Kepa's, okay, say what you want about him, he's still a £70 million, very, very astute goal. He's still a good goalkeeper, don't get me wrong. So even if you go through that run of five or six fixtures for Chelsea that are fantastic, you think, right, I'm gonna have Mendy because he's nailed. He could easily just drop him out if he's got a little knock or something. Whereas other goalkeepers in the game will play through that pain barrier because they have to, because the subkeeper's so bad at these top clubs.
Mm.
Whereas he could drop Kepa in any moment. I agree with you. It's difficult to pick
The third one's hard.
But, so, what are we saying? Are we absolutely advocating the three then from game week 7? Or are we saying Rudiger, Lukaku as a lock, and then around that you pick?
Yeah. And around that, I think you take a risk.
Okay.
But you don't have to. I think it is okay to double.
All right. Okay, let's talk about another team where people have, FPL managers have doubled on. So Mienna Sidhorn, thank you, Mienna, for the super chat. Mienna is saying, hey guys, lost my head-to-head, sorry mate, to a dead team that had Elneny, Martial and Cavani.
Oh God.
How did that happen, do you ask? They also had Tierney, Kante and the mighty Virgil van Dijk, whereas Mienna,
calm as you like,
doubled on the Wolves defence.
Oh.
So here's a team that I'd like to talk about, Sam. Wolves 0, Brentford 2. Now, we've spent the last week or so tinkering with our wildcards. We've been on different pods and shows talking about the Wolves defence. We've talked about how good they are from a stats perspective. We're talking about how good Semedo is in terms of getting into decent positions, etc, etc, etc. However, here comes Brentford, or more to the point, here comes Mr. Tony, and absolutely bossed that Wolves defence that looked pretty watertight, at least on the stats side, in the first few weeks.
So what's six, isn't it?
So what's going on here? Have we dropped a clanger here? Has Mienna dropped a bit of a clanger by going double Wolves defence? I bought in Semedo on my wild card, as did you. How are you feeling about that right now?
I don't know. I feel like I entered the Twilight Zone yesterday. Like,
right.
Because I spent all week looking at Wolves stats. How good were they underlying stats? Defensively, good ones going forward. They've been a bit unlucky. You know, lucky goal for Man United, lucky goal for Spurs. They've been unlucky.
They were unlucky again, by the way. I watched the highlights. Traore won off the bar. If I remember rightly, got a deflection off a defender. So, again, they were unlucky going forward.
Yeah, but how many times can we say this?
Well, what I was going to say was, they're unlucky going forward, but defensively, they were not unlucky.
No, they
Brentford
were, bad.
Were very good. No, no, I thought Brentford were good.
Well, yeah, but they were bad because they didn't deal with Brentford. Brentford were excellent. They didn't deal with them. They had a bad defensive day. Yeah. Now, maybe we've misjudged it, but I don't think we have because we've got 4 game weeks into the season and they've got 4 weeks worth of really good underlying stats against very good, minus Spurs, teams that they've played against in that period of time. My one concern is that did Lage think it was going to be an easier game than it was? And did he misjudge it? Like, did Tony and Brentford look at what Wolves have been doing and think, we can have a go at them?
Yeah.
Because of the way that they just kind of went into it with a bit of a nothing to lose. Because their fixtures are awful now, Brentford.
Yeah.
So did they go, we've got nothing to lose, let's just throw everything at it? And I think there was a bit of that.
Or maybe they went into it thinking, our fixtures for last now are so hard, we've got to get 3 points here.
Yeah, and that's also true, I think. But I don't know. I don't think we've... I think we... Maybe the double up was a bit of a misjudge. But equally, the fixtures look really good still for Wolves. And I don't think you want to just...
I don't think you just
want to throw them away yet. There were still some good things going forward from the Wolves defence as well. So I don't think you want to kind of throw it out. But Marcel needs to actually defend properly.
I thought he didn't do well for the penalty, no doubt about it, because he wrestled, he picked a fight with Tony, which was the wrong thing to do from the first corner, and the referee said, you need to stop holding him and wrestling him down, otherwise I will give a penalty.
And then he did.
The second corner comes in, he wrestled Tony down, and the ref was like, what do you want me to do? And I actually think that says a lot about Marcel, but it also says a lot about Ivan Tony. If you were under any delusion that he is not a Premier League level striker, forget it. He absolutely is Tony. And he picked on the weakest gazelle in that Wolves back line. Not only in open play, he picked on Max Kilman every single time.
Yeah.
And he played off of Max Kilman. But at corners, he picked on Marcel every time. Now, I don't know what's going on there. If I'm Connor Cody, surely I'm saying to someone else in that team, you need to go and pick up Tony and take Marcel off of Tony. I don't know. I don't really know why that didn't
do
happen.
Do it yourself.
Someone other than Marcel needs to pick up Tony. But nevertheless, Tony was still, I thought, fantastic in that game because the way that he played, he purposely went and jumped on the weaker Wolves players. And he did a great job of it. Took his penalty very confidently.
Yep.
Set up Mbeumo brilliantly. And actually, was it before the penalty or between those two goals, there was a couple of other goals where he had ruled out for offside or handball or VAR. So on another day, Tony owners will be very happy with their haul. But on another day, he could have had nearer 20 points, Tony. He was phenomenal.
He could have had 4 goals in that game if he'd not had the ones got given against him. Look, I don't think you panic about your Wolves assets. The only one I'm pondering on at the moment, I kept Jimenez because of the fixtures. And I am now wondering whether I've done the wrong thing there. Because...
Well, Chintan sent a super chat in and he's saying exactly that. He's saying, hey guys, hey Chintan, and thank you for the super chat. I hope you're well. My issue is with Richarlison, swap for Jimenez.
Hmm.
So what are we saying? And you're a Jimenez owner. Is that a good move for Chintan to bring in Jimenez now? Because I still think they look a bit anemic going forward, Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult this one, isn't it? Because nothing has changed, really, in terms of the underlying stats, in terms of for Jimenez, how good opportunities in that game, and he could have got something from that game. It's still the same rhetoric that we had prior to game week 5 is still the same going into game week 6. The fixture's still nice going into game week 6. There still should be something for Jimenez. But there was a really interesting comment from the guy that was commentating on that game, and I can't think who it was now that we were listening to on the radio, and he said there was a ball that Traore put in towards the end of the game. And he said it was the perfect ball from Traore. It was the sort of ball that last season the season before last, Traore would have put in, and Jimenez would have read it that it was going to come, and he'd have gone on the basis it was coming.
Yeah.
And he just delayed on going until the ball had already gone. And at that point, he's a foot backwards.
He's just missing
the spark. He is missing the Jimenez spark of
Is it confidence or is it, what is it?
I think so. I think there's an element of...
Needs a goal, doesn't he?
He needs a goal, but I don't know if it's confidence, but I also think it's what happens sometimes when you've been out of the game for that long with such a serious injury, that it just takes you a little bit of time to get back to reading the game properly again,
yeah,
and just making those smart runs and trusting that your teammate is going to put those balls in, because we know Traore will put them in and we know that the other Wolves players will do that too. So I think it's just, with Jimenez, just learning the trade again.
All right.
I think.
Okay.
So I don't know if I'd bring him in now, though.
Not, I don't think, too much of a panic on Wolves, I don't think. But Brentford, ones to look at, because...
Fixtures, though.
I know, but they're priced so nicely, because they're priced as a team coming up into the Premier League. You've got Mbeumo there at 5.5, looks all right. Tony at 6.5 looks all right. Their defenders are all 4.5.
Can have a Pookie party for... cheaper.
Well, we'll talk about the Pookie party.
Why haven't I got Pookie?
We'll talk about the Pookie party in a minute, but I'd like to talk more about West Ham 1, Manchester United 2, because Ben Alum, thank you, Ben, for the super chat, he says, evening, Sam and Lee. Evening.
Hi.
Ben, how are we doing? Advice, should I keep Rom and Ron? I have Salah. Rest of the team is weak. I'm not getting enough points. Mount out. So here is the conundrum that a lot of managers find themselves in right now. And it's a conundrum that we spoke about last week when we were talking about our wildcards. If you go for that so-called threemium, if you go for the Lukaku and Ronaldo and Salah, it just makes your team so unbalanced. And
yeah,
for me, that was why I didn't do it on my wildcard. I didn't pick Ronaldo. Not least because I think Manchester United's fixtures are difficult. And I know he scored today, guys, so feel free to come at me in the chat. But the fixtures look tough for Ronaldo. I don't think I'm going to be captaining him for some time. And I think by having him and Rom and Salah, it just upsets the balance. And what I don't like about it is when a player comes to the fore, like, I mean, not this week, Ben, for Mount, but if Mount was to suddenly come to the fore, it's difficult to jump on and off of the form players when you don't have that flexibility in your team.
Yeah.
And it's not a way that I like to play FPL, I'll be honest with you. But what do you think of Ben's comment there? Would you still stick with this kind of threemium setup? And then you can answer the Mount question.
I didn't see any of this game today.
The United game?
Because I was driving to Spurs and I was too busy chatting with my mum.
Yeah.
And then when we got there, I didn't see any of it. So I can't comment on the actual game itself. But what I will say is that I think we are coming to a point in the season where, yes, you can go, and it is absolutely possible to go for Trent, to go for Salah, to go for Rom, and to go for Ron. But in doing that, there are so many players you can't have. And for me, I'm not prepared to do that. I think you have to make some tough choices. And either that choice is you go with Rom and Ron and you leave out Salah, or you go with Salah and one of Rom and Ron. And in doing that, it allows you to build a squad which has potential to bring you bigger points hauls over the course of a period of time.
Yeah.
Yes, you will miss goals from Ronaldo if you go Lukaku, Lukaku if you go Ronaldo. It is inevitable part of FPL. You just have to be able to accept that, because on the basis that you know, you don't have Ronaldo, but that means that you've got three really nice midfielders in their place.
Yeah.
Instead of three 4.5s or three 5.5s.
Can I just give you a bit of insight based on actually watching this game?
Yeah.
Ronaldo could have had 20 points today, easily. Easily.
But the reality is, that's always going to be the case, right? We are talking about a top quality player playing in a quality side. Leaving somebody like that out is never going to be an easy thing to do. And every week, I will hate it, even through the tough run of fixtures that Manchester United have, because he will score goals in that period of time. But it's a balancing act, isn't it? Because you can build a squad where you guarantee the returns from all of them and probably Trent, but you're not as... Who was it that sent the super chat? Ben said,
yeah,
the rest of the squad doesn't pick up that many points. So you're reliant on them a lot, going big all the time. But they going big all the time, they're in such high ownership that it's not really helping your rank.
Yeah.
It's the differentials that help your rank.
Okay. He was good again today, no doubt about
it.
It was very uncomfortable watching that as a non-Ronaldo.
Yeah, I was glad not to watch it, to be honest.
And I think Ronaldo captainers can consider themselves really unlucky,
yeah,
because the one goal with no bonus points does not, in my opinion, tell you the story of
okay.
that game. As a Benrahma seller in my wildcard, I can tell you...
Thought he wasn't going to be playing.
It was very uncomfortable watching this game from start to finish. But Ronaldo, having scored the one goal, there's a couple of penalties, and you know me, I will happily be anti-Man United, no problem at all. But I'm telling you, they are stone. How they are not penalties? They are at least one of them is a stonewall penalty, and then he picks himself up, presumably scores it. There was one where Bruno had a great shot in the first half, fingertip saved by Fabianski onto the post.
On the post, yeah, I heard that.
Honestly, as someone that had sold Fernandes and not got Ronaldo,
heart in your mouth.
It was a nightmare watching this game. I hated it. And then we had all the drama at the end with the Lingard goal, which, by the way, what a strike from Jesse, so good. And then it was the penalty for West Ham. It was given. David De Gea saves it. They bring a player to take the. I can't remember, but they bought on a player just to take the penalty.
Well, that doesn't go well. Did they not learn from England?
So anyway, not. It was very uncomfortable watching that, and I feel like I've absolutely swerved the bullet as a non-Ronaldo owner. Him only picking up the 5 or 6 points, whatever he did. Question is now, can I do that every week?
Well, you're going
to. Can I get my sofa out and hide behind there every week? And I think, given what I've done on my wildcard with Lukaku and Salah, and a more balanced team. I've got to. And this week, it's not paid off because my balanced team has been an absolute disaster. And I've swerved it because Ronaldo's not gone big. In other weeks, I've got to hope that if Ronaldo does go big, my balanced team brings me enough points to cover him.
But there will
really
also,
odd.
But there will also be players that have gone for Rom and
Mark
Ron.
Mark Noble, of course it was. Thank you, chat. Yeah.
But there will also be players that have gone for Rom and Ron who don't have Salah. And then watching Liverpool every week is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And there will be players that go Salah and Rom. No,
Ram.
Salah and Ron, and don't have Rom, and then watching Chelsea
every
week.
You just call them Ronaldo and Lukaku, please.
It's a nightmare.
It's easier than going Rom and Ran and Ran.
It's a nightmare, and I think, you know, we were, as soon as Lukaku and Ronaldo, there you are, joined the Premier League, this was the inevitable part of life, is that you either have to say, I accept the rest of my team's a bit ropey, and I'm reliant on them.
Okay.
But you don't have the differentials, which are so important.
Right.
Or you accept the differentials, and you hide.
That's what Jamie Taylor's saying in the chat. Think you need a bigger sofa, guys. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Ronaldo non-owners, you need to buy a big sofa if you've not got it. No doubt about it. Neilio. Thank you, Neilio, for the super chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hey, Neilio. 77k overall.
Nice.
Very good, mate. After today's Sariesta. Very nice. I need a replacement for Trincao because Wolves really look lacklustre. Help, please. We'll talk about Trincao replacements as we go through, and perhaps we'll talk about Rafinha and Leeds in just a second. And Dal, thank you for the super chat. Love the show. Thanks, Dal. Game week 5, 67 minus 4, 177k, another really good rank. Game week 6 team is Sanchez, Bert, which I guess is Bertrand, Shaw, Trent, Rafinha, Jota, Greenwood, Salah captain, Ron and Tony.
Ron Bench. Or Rom?
No, Ron, Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
Bench, Duffy, Gilmore and Omar Bamadeli. Rate my team, guys.
Well, Omar Bamadeli deep.
It looks pretty good, except
Lamptey's back.
You're going to want a bit of Chelsea from game week 7, but I think you're okay for game week 6. But one of the players in Dal's team there, Rafinha, let's talk about him because Nilio's talking about Trincao replacements. In that price bracket, roughly speaking, is Mr. Rafinha. Where's the Leeds game? We need to go to the Leeds game. Ah, it's Friday
night.
Of course. There we go.
We did so watch this one.
Cast your minds back to Friday night. And we're already, what time are we on, Sam? We're already on 42 minutes. So let's rattle through these games. I would like to talk to you in a second about your favourite player in the world, Alan
Saint-Maximin,
who was absolutely brilliant
in
that
game.
He's
so quality.
He was so good.
What's
I love watching
there?
Him. He needs to go to a better club. Sorry, Newcastle.
Good grief.
Talk to me about Leeds and Rafinha, though. Because I thought they were okay.
Okay, yeah.
But what I would like to say about this game was it was end-to-end stuff. It was a very entertaining game. Not a lot of defensive goodness on show,
no,
to be honest with you. But that made for a good game. So what's the point of that? Me telling you that? The point is I would not invest in either of these defences right now. But going forward, would I have a cheeky punt on St. Matt's? Maybe, but he's got a lot of dross around him. Whereas Rafinha and Bamford and others look okay, because let's remind ourselves of the Leeds fixtures. Let's go to the fixture ticker, courtesy of Fantasy Football Scout. And Leeds still top of the shop there with West Ham, Watford, Southampton, Wolves and Norwich up next. Now, if you look at those actually in isolation, West Ham, Southampton and Wolves all look like reasonable defences so far this season. Watford and Norwich, more about Norwich later on, whipping boys.
Pookie.
But actually, the others look suddenly a little bit more difficult, don't they? What are we saying about Leeds getting onto Bamford and Rafinha in particular?
I don't know. Rafinha worries me a little bit that he went off.
Yes, that is a fair point. We do need to keep an eye on that. Yeah, went off on the hour mark, didn't he?
Yeah, and that worries me a little bit. I thought they were good going... Right, okay. Here's my honest view. They did look good going forward, but is that just because Newcastle was so bad at the back?
Yeah.
And the same with that, like, St. Max is good. There is no doubt. But is that just because Leeds... Like, it's not. But Leeds was so bad at the back. And then Ayling got himself injured and went off. So that's something you've also got to watch, because most people would have invested in Ayling. If he's not fit for game week six, you don't want to touch the Leeds defence by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think
so. And they were good opponents for St. Maximin to play against.
They were.
They? Because they will stick to their attacking, pressing mentality, and they will create space.
Yes.
And St. Max got into that space. I honestly thought he was electric that game. I love watching him.
I totally agree. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was a great game. I have some doubts about... Oh, I feel bad saying this. I have some doubts about Bamford. I didn't think he was that great in that game. I think it was a very, very lucky assist. It would have been a very easy game for him to blank. There wasn't a lot from him. I thought Rafinha was good. Played well. But then Rafinha, I always like watching. He does look good. I don't know. I really struggle to invest in either of these two sides.
So given what we've just said about Leeds' defence, if you sold Antonio in the last couple of weeks, would you be bringing him back?
That's why I didn't sell Antonio.
Well, I'm saying if you did sell him, would you bring him back now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you probably would, to be honest with you. Difficult, because a lot of options up there now with Tony maybe coming to the fore and you're keeping faith with Jimenez, etc. But...
Well, I don't know.
I think you want Antonio up against that Leeds defence. I honestly do. If St. Max can cause trouble, then I'm pretty sure that he can as well. Liam Healy, thank you for the super chat, Liam. Long-term patron, Liam. Very nice to see you, mate. Evening, Liam Sam. He actually says, evening, Liam Same.
I'll take it.
We'll take it. Thinking of doing Tony to Alan St. Maximum for a two-week pump, given that Tony's obviously fixtures, as you mentioned, not looking too great. St. Maximum looked great in that Leeds game. For a two-week pump, the reason it's a two-week plan is because wildcard booked in for game week 8. What are we saying
about...
What
are the Newcastle fixtures for the next 2 weeks?
I can tell you, Sam. Newcastle's fixtures for the next 2 weeks are Watford and Wolves before a home game against Spurs. So for Watford and Wolves away...
Why the hell don't you want to keep him for Spurs?
Well, you might well keep him on his wildcard. Let's see. But for Watford and Wolves away, St. Maximin punt? In good form, isn't he?
Yeah. Why not? The only thing I don't really like, and this is nothing to do with St. Max himself, it's the fact that he's a forward now. When he was a midfielder, I think he offered so much more, because obviously you have the additional points for goals. And
good value, right? Is he 5'5"?
No, he's 6'5", isn't he?
Is he 6'5"?
Yeah, he's quite a lot. Because I remember looking at him, he's not that much cheaper than Callum Wilson. I think he's 6'5".
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a pump for a couple of weeks, why on earth not? But right. I think there are other options that you could potentially go with that are in better teams than Newcastle.
All right, let's choose a couple more games to talk about. Let's talk about the game that we went to see.
Oh, we can talk about this one.
Yesterday, yes, Liverpool 3, Crystal Palace 0. I must admit, as a Reds fan, I was a little bit concerned when I saw the team sheet and I saw no Robbo and I saw no Trent.
Yeah.
And I saw Milner and Tsimikas and Konate coming in. But I have to say... I think Klopp got it right. He got it. I mean, honestly, you could play James Milner in goal and he would be a legend.
Gives his all for everything.
Honestly.
More of Milner, please.
Just how good is Milner?
How old is Milner?
He's 37. And he's
37?
He's got to be that sort of age, yes. And he's up against a very tricky player, Zaha, right? And he just does a job on him. I thought he was absolutely...
The only thing I would say, the only negative I had about Liverpool... Full stop.
Yes.
And it wasn't a negative about Milner, because I thought he was great in what he did. You just really missed the balls in from Trent. Because there were...
Before it scored from three set pieces.
But there were... No, I don't mean from set pieces. I mean, like... Right. So, Milner did a really good job of kind of breaking a bit. But he's not Trent. And then... So, we get up there, and then he sort of... Put a ball in and he were like, oh, if Trent had put that in, that was a goal. Do you know what I mean? Like, that could have scored more goals than they did had it been Trent. But that's the only negative I had. I also, for the record, thought that Crystal Palace were excellent.
They were good. The 3-0, I think, flattered us a little bit.
I do.
I have to say. Crystal Palace, played well, Palace.
They had another good game. They built upon what happened last week against Spurs, where they were excellent. And they were good again today. And if Gallagher had finished his dinner again... There could have been... It was just another one of them, wasn't it? Like, there could easily have been points in that game for Crystal Palace.
What about the new boy, Edouard? for Palace.
Well, I was surprised he didn't start, though. Weren't you? I was expecting him to start after his performance last week.
Well, I think both managers actually were expecting a bit of a physical battle. If you're going to play Van Dijk, you're going to ask Edouard, and Edouard's he's no slouch, right? But you're asking him to come on if he started his full debut for Crystal Palace and play Van Dijk, right? What are you going to get against Van Dijk? You're going to get a battle.
Yeah.
So putting Benteke there, I think, made a bit of sense. And I think Klopp preempted that and said, all right, well, that's why he gave Konate his full home debut, because Konate is a lot of things, but one thing that he is, and I thought he played all right, by the way, but one thing that he absolutely is, he's physical. And with Ayew and Benteke up there, it was a physical battle.
It was
all four
a great
of them,
game.
All four
great
of them.
Game.
I think if Edouard had started, I think we'd have got the better of him because of the physicality of the centre-half.
And a shout-out to Tsimikas, because that boy, honestly, like...
Nice one.
I've seen him twice now this season, and both games I've been really impressed with him, not just defensively, but going forward. And, you know, we watched him against Norwich on the opening day of the season, and it got to about 70 minutes, and the poor kid looked like he needed a nap. But in this game, he didn't do that. He's built up his strength and his style, and he played to the end. I really rate him, and actually, I think what Klopp has in Tsimikas is a great understudy. If he needs to give Robbo a rest... He's got a really great player that he can put in his place.
Do you think that's going to be a thing now? I mean, I don't see Milner upsetting Trent's minutes too much on the other side, but Tsimikas might come in and get some minutes off of Robbo?
You could see it, couldn't you? You know, Liverpool got... this is just an example, they don't have this, but if you have a Champions League game on Wednesday and you're playing Norwich on Saturday or Watford on Saturday, you could see him going, right, Robbo, you're playing the Champions League. Tsimikas, you're getting the nod at the weekend, because then Robbo's got a week of recovery time from the... You can see with the injury that he's had, you could see the possibility that he could do that, or that he plays Tsimikas in the Cups and Robbo plays in the Premier League. So, but you can see the development in Tsimikas, even since game week one, just the game time he's had.
Yeah.
So I was super impressed with him. And yeah, I was a bit gutted that I didn't get to see Trent. I love watching Trent play. And I would have very much liked the clean sheet points from him this weekend. But he's ill. It's not COVID, so he'll be back next week.
No panic. No panic. I think you might be right on the Tsimikas thing. I don't see Robbo's minutes getting challenged too much, but I just wonder whether that ankle... Because he had an ankle injury, didn't he, Robbo, in pre-season?
I wonder
whether they're just making sure
Over Christmas, you could see it, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think they're just... Maybe his ankle's all right by then. I just wonder whether that ankle, they're just making sure that, you know, he doesn't play too much or turn it or do something innocuous that might just... All it takes is one bad tackle and the ankle's gone and he's out for 6 months and you've got a big problem, in the same way that poor old Harvey is.
What a gent that boy is, by the way.
And it's the same with Virgil as well. Virgil got the rest in the Champions League, didn't he? Which I remember when I saw the team sheet there, I was a bit shocked about that. But even then, I mean, they're just making sure that, again, back from a long-term injury, they know how important these players are.
Great understudies,
though. And
now
we've got the players to rotate. Yeah. I think that Klopp's just making the most of his squad. Makes sense.
Wish I still had him.
Where else?
Quick word on Jota we should have before we move on.
Yes, go on then. So you've got Jota in your wildcard team. What are we saying? Panic stations or no?
No. I'm not panicking yet.
How high at XG was that chance in the first half? That was a bit of a sitter that he missed.
I was raging.
It's a bit of a sitter.
Raging.
No doubt about it. But you've got Salah, you've got Jota, and you've got Trent. Any reason to move off of those three in upcoming fixtures? Let's have a look at Liverpool's fixtures going forward. Oh, in fact, I've left the fixtures thing up here. Liverpool coming up next. Let's have a look. Brentford next, which is a tricky-looking game going down there now. Then it's the City game. Then it's Watford away, Man United away, Brighton at home. So there's some tricky-looking fixtures for Liverpool there. Not panicking at all on my three, I have to say. But difficult-ish looking fixtures. Is Jota a sell or a hold for you?
I haven't just got him. I'm not going to sell him yet.
He's
a hold for now. Until Bobby's fully back. And then I think there will be a question mark. But for now.
All right. Second super chat of the night from Chintan. Thank you, Chintan, for the super chat. Did the transfer to avoid the Richarlison price drop? Yeah, I can see why you would do that. His team is Sanchez, Koufal, Trent, Shaw, Bruno, Salah, Barnes, Jota, Rafinha, Bamford, Jimenez.
Got Sal Fernandez now.
So, with White on the bench, good to go. You would still advocate going the Bruno out to one of the big hitters up front, would you?
100%. One goal in four.
Okay. And if you did, would you lose either Bamford or Jimenez to accommodate Ronaldo or Lukaku? Which of those two would you sell?
Well, that's a tougher one. Jimenez.
Okay. All right.
Sadly.
Sadly. Jimenez. Just a very quick word on Palace, though. If you've got Palace options, if you've got Gallagher, if you bought him in last couple of weeks.
Oh, don't panic.
All good. Yeah, all good. They were good. Where else should we go? One or two more games. I can't talk very confidently about Brighton versus Leicester because I didn't watch it. It wasn't on the TV. Aston Villa versus Everton is the last game I want to talk about. In fact, let's do that last. Let's talk about City 0, Southampton 0. Another clean sheet for Mr. Livramento. Continues to come off of our benches with aplomb. Well done, Tino. City, lacking a bit of firepower. What's going on?
They don't have a striker.
Okay.
That's going on.
So from that perspective...
Why is he benching Torres?
It's an interesting question. Again, had him on the wild card.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot.
Pretty happy to keep though. Now that he's had the rest, if that's what you want to call it.
Chelsea next.
Were
you playing
for City? Right on my bus team. He's currently on my bench.
Yeah,
Torres. He's currently benched. But then you know he's probably going to come on based on how unlucky I was with
that. Can't happen
with
again.
Players not playing this week. City don't look that investable right now, do they? In FPL.
No, it's really hard this because...
Despite the rotation thing, we always say, oh, roulette, rotation, whatever. But despite any of that, they're not actually playing that great.
Well, so on my wildcard, I went no City.
Yeah.
And I really did struggle with that. But I think I struggled with it because it's City, not because of the game I'm seeing at the moment playing out in front of me in terms of what City we're seeing. And I know that we've seen some really good things from City against Norwich and against Arsenal. But... there's just something not quite right there. Defensively, I think you can invest, but then they've got so many issues. You basically got to go Diaz. You could go Cancelo, but...
I think defensively, they're absolutely investable, aren't they?
But it's the cost, isn't it? It's the expense. I think that's why people are because we're talking about you've got to have six million to invest in these guys. And at a time where you're kind of going... if you're going massive in their three premiums with those boys that we were talking about earlier, plus you want Trent, you can't go a City defender.
But if you're not, and you're going two biggins, and you're talking about a balanced squad, then yes, you can't you?
You can, yes, but Southampton should have had a penalty in this game. The ref gave it.
Yeah.
I don't know why he changed his mind. It was not a clear and obvious error from the ref. I think VAR got it wrong. End of VAR conversation. They could have lost that game. Yes, they could have also won it towards the end with the Sterling goal that got ruled out. But I don't know. I just can't bring myself to invest in them because I'm thinking about my defence and I'm thinking, you know, I've got the likes of a Chelsea defender that I want to fit in there and I want to keep Trent and I'm still seeing some attacking potential in Shaw and the fixtures are mixed for Manchester City. They've got Chelsea next. I mean, I'm not going to bring in a Man City defender ahead of Chelsea.
Well, let's have a look at these Manchester City fixtures then. It's Chelsea and Liverpool away next. So it is a stern test for them. Then it gets a bit nicer with Burnley, Brighton and Crystal Palace. So from eight, they do absolutely look investable. So I don't think you're going to be buying ahead of the next two. But as Tips is saying in the chat, five shots on target conceded in five games. It's crazy. It's great. They are crazy good defensively in terms of not allowing teams to get those shots away.
But it's been Norwich. It's been Arsenal when they were poor. It's been Southampton who never have that many shots. So yes, I do agree with everything you're saying. But look at the opposition that they have played.
Okay.
Plus Spurs who don't attack. Against Chelsea, against Liverpool, they won't get that respect.
It's a sterner test, you say, for the next couple of weeks. It's a sterner test.
From game week 8, I'm with you.
Okay.
But not now.
Angelo Davis, thank you, Angelo, for the super chat. Good evening, Bonfields. Hello,
good
Angelo.
Evening.
Nice to see you. Loving the show, as usual. Cheers, mate. 70-point week, including 15 off the bench. Sweet. Loving that. There will be a lot of points.
I'd kill for
off
15
the
off the bench.
I would kill for
I've
even...
I've got five.
I'd love a bit of a 70-pointer this week. We've got to talk about our teams in a minute. A section of the show that is going to be very quick because I want to get it over with. A quick shout-out for, and I don't want to go too much into either of these seeds, but Leon Bailey come on, changed the game, didn't he, for Villa? Very, very good.
I have got a thing about Leon Bailey.
Well, he's injured now, you can't have him. But...
No, but I've been talking about him for a while. I looked at him in pre-season and thought he looked good, and he's got so unlucky with injuries since he's been there. When he actually gets fit and he's available all the time, I think he could be a really nice FPL option. Everton, what happened? It's like they just collapsed. They were fully in this game. Then it's almost like they just gave up. I don't know.
No Calvert-Lewin, no Richarlison. Did they go into it with a bit of a defeatist mentality? Did they
actually think they were going to score any goals? They were in it for a long time, and then all of a sudden it was
take
like...
two key players out like that. It affects anybody, right?
Yeah, maybe I've... I don't know. I'm starting to have regrets.
Well, they've got Norwich up next, right?
I've got Damari Gray regrets already, but I'm going to hold him for Norwich because I brought him in for a reason.
You absolutely do need to hold him ahead of Norwich. There's no doubt about it. It was interesting. I was checking out the XG for the two teams in this game. So Everton, obviously no goals, an XG of 0.69. Aston Villa, three goals, an XG of 0.65. So actually,
that's what I mean.
Everton out XG'd them there. yet here we are, Villa with the 3-0. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's a worldie from Leon Bailey. I haven't seen it yet, but I listened to it on the radio.
Got
and the commentator
well,
did
he?
Go mental for it. But again, we kind of got rolled back to this rhetoric of Villa scoring some absolute worldies, like the Ings bicycle kick, like the Leon Bailey worldie. They're not really creating a regular amount of chances that makes me seriously want to invest. However, when the fixtures get better, if the injury isn't too bad, I will be having a look at Leon Bailey. Because the way that he come on and really took that game by the scruff of the neck was impressive. That's impressive leadership from the young man. I was impressed.
When Leon Bailey is fit, I will have him in my FPL team.
Yeah.
I'm that impressed by him and I'm that sure that he will be a really good FPL asset this season. He'll just come straight in when he's fit. Right.
Sam, let's rip off the Band-Aid. Let's do this.
Who's first?
It's the quickest part of the show. I want to go first. I can get this over with.
All right, go on.
Not good. 48 points. Wildcard played 48 points. Absolute shocker. Only got 9 players out. So
how many?
Hit 9 players. So here's my... It started off well on Friday. Rafinha got the goal. So I'm 8 points up and I'm thinking, all right, I'm a bit concerned about the injury, but the 8 points I'll take. But other than that, after that, it was just awful. Absolutely awful. The whole weekend was absolutely terrible. So obviously Trent missed out, didn't play. James missed out, didn't play. Torres missed out, didn't play any minutes. So these guys, you know, Trent ill, okay, but James and Torres both on the bench, 0 minutes for any of these three. However, I didn't have the bench to cover it because I've got my 4.5 stinking up the bench in Richardson. Antonio I kept the faith with, and don't get me wrong, I'm not unhappy about that. I do want to keep him for that Leeds game, but of course couldn't feature this week. And then obviously Livramento comes on with the 5. So the Alexander-Arnold being ill has killed me. The Reece James not getting a game has killed me. And obviously the Torres has killed me as well. So I'm looking at the team now. I'm thinking, did I take too many risks with this team in my wild card? And I look at it and I say, all right, well, I didn't go for the 3. I didn't go for the Lukaku and the Ronaldo and the Salah. So therefore, my team should be... I should have a more balanced squad, shouldn't I? And I shouldn't have this many risks in my team. However, I am one decision on my wildcard away from a good week. And that decision was one I thought long and hard about. And that was having Rudiger and not James. If I've had Rudiger and not Reece James this week, I'm at 60-something points and I'm fine. So, I'm not panicking. It's a big red arrow. I'm down at 917k. It's absolute
rubbish.
Could
be worse. You could have had my lot.
Well, we'll talk about you in a second. But in terms of the team, I'm not panicking because... Chelsea fixtures do turn. I think against the lesser teams, he's going to go for James. They will go for it a bit more. I think he'd be fine. Not sure whether he will against Man City. Trent's ill. He's coming back. He'd be fine. Antonio's coming back. He'd be fine. Torres was the one where I knew I was taking a bit of a risk with the roulette. It's fine. I got the bench to cover it in most game weeks. I think I've had just a bit of a bad game week. Plus... Gray is got going into Norwich next. I'm not panicking. Wolves have got that nice run. I'm not panicking. As long as the Rafinha injury is okay, I'm not panicking there either. So, it's a bad game week. But I think I've just got to take it on the chin and go again. Because I don't mind my team. I've had a look at my team, obviously, because I played the bloody wild card. Looked at my team for next week and I'm thinking, I'm not going to make any changes there. And one of the reasons I don't want to make any changes because I want to go into 7... knowing that a lot of other FPL managers are playing their wild card, I want to go in with at least a mini wild card, going into it with 2 free transfers. So I have to hold my nerve here. Very, very, I absolutely want to jerk my knee here. I really want to get rid of some players here and I really want to bring some others in, but I'm not. I've got to hold my nerve, I think. But as I said at the beginning of the show, probably the worst wild card I've ever played. Probably the worst wild card I've ever played.
And then there's mine.
And then I saw your team. It ain't great either. 44 points, down to an overall rank of 1.26, Sam. It is a shocker, no doubt about it.
It was worse until Livramento came off the bench.
You did get the 11 out, even.
Well, yes, I did.
So you've had 11
but
players.
But I've got Williams, you've got naught. So.
Compared to me, who only had the 9, you have got the 11 out. But it's not good. What has gone wrong for us here?
Well, I think... So there were a couple of decisions that I pondered on a lot, a bit like you with your Antonio and Rudiger and James thing. One of them was Greenwood's position, and I actually kept Benrahma until the very last minute.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't decide what to do. And normally in those situations, I just stick with the player that I've got. But I panicked a little bit, and I just thought, I've not got Ronaldo, I better get a United attacking player. So I went Greenwood, and I don't regret it because I think moving forward it'll be fine for now anyway. I knew it was only going to be a short term thing anyway because of Rashford eventually coming back, but for now I'm all right with that. And the other one was Jimenez, who very, very nearly was pooky.
I'm surprised you kept Jimenez.
It was the fixtures that did it.
Yeah, but he's
so not
in any form.
So I looked at Norwich and I thought, at one point, I had a team that had 3 Norwich players in it, and I looked at myself in the mirror, because I was sitting at my desk and I got a mirror in front of me, and I was like, what are you doing, Bonfield? You can't have 3 Norwich players in a wildcard team. Because I had Williams because he was cheap, and I also had Billy Gilmore as my cheap midfielder, and I had Pukki, and I thought, this is ludicrous. So I changed Skip for Gilmore. That's fine. I don't need that spot, so done. And then the Jimenez-Pukki thing was really tight all week. I was really backwards and forwards. And in the end, it came down to the fact that I just didn't need the money. Yeah. And Jimenez has got really good underlying stats, and Wolves had looked better than Norwich had. And I was like, if I needed the money, I'd go Pukki. Because I'd said to everyone else all week, if you need to free up some money, Pukki's a great option. You don't have to play him very often. He's got nice fixtures, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't need the money.
Okay.
So I stuck with Jimenez thinking, much like yourself, in game week 7, I'm going to want 2 transfers. And at that point, Himi could become whoever I want, because I've still got loads of money in the bank with this squad. So I spread everything knowing that I can kind of fix it. And I picked players with really good runs of fixtures.
Yeah.
They just didn't perform this week. And it's just one of them things that happens sometimes. I'm not that upset about it, because I look at them and think, I've picked you for a reason. And that reason isn't something that I'm prepared to throw you out with the dishwasher yet. So
that's what you've got to think with the wild card, right? And it's easy for us to say, and I'd say the same thing even if we both had good weeks, I think, is that the wild card success is usually determined over a few weeks. It's not necessarily in the first week. You don't often have quite so much of a shocker as we've both had in the first week. However, I think the wild card success will be determined over the next few weeks.
And the good thing is it can only go green next week.
Well, the reality is that, listen, you've sat here for the last 3 or 4 years and always talked about your team, and it's always been largely good. If it's bad, we talk about it. Like,
I've got no qualms talking about it.
It's like, do you know what? We are here to talk about our teams, good or bad. Right? And come the end of the season, you'll be up there, no doubt about it. Right now, it's not a good-looking wild card, but it will come good. It will come good, no doubt about it. So for all of you guys in the chat giving us a bit of stick, it is what it is, guys. It's not a good week, but listen, it'll come good. I'm absolutely fine with it. And we will be here whether we have a good week or a bad week.
I mean, I've literally raced home to be here.
It would have been just come back.
To be fair, it would have been very easy for me to just go, I'm stuck in traffic.
Yeah, let's not do it.
But I'm here.
Bad game week. Let's not do it. So there we go, guys.
And my team lost as well.
A bit of a Taylor woe. And that, to be honest, is...
Should we finish? We haven't even got any Love Island to watch now.
That is more of a concern, I would suggest, more than your FPL team, is your actual team. I would suggest there's not a lot of good stuff coming out of Spurs at the minute. But that is a whole nother podcast, guys. At least we haven't got to go on any shows or podcasts this week and talk about it, or have we?
You have.
Oh, man, have I got the podcast to do?
You've got the podcast.
Oh, man, that's going to be fun. So listen out for me on the official FPL podcast this week when I will be getting an absolute slating, presumably, from James Richardson. That's something...
From Kelly.
For me to look forward to. And Kelly, who, by the way...
James Richardson won't be on the podcast.
That's true. He's not on it anymore. It's Kelly. Kelly, by the way, is having a great season. Got 70 points this week and is in the top 100k. So I'm really looking forward to the podcast this week.
I mean, I think we're on the FPL show the week after, so we've got to pull our socks up next week.
We've got to do better. Got to do better next week. So, guys, well done this week if you got somewhere in the 60s, 70s or even 80s. Seen a lot of very good scores this week. It's beaten us. He's no great shakes this week, no doubt about it. So there we go, guys. Not a good week in the FPL family household, but a great week for getting back to watching the football and getting back in stadiums. Watching Liverpool back at Anfield for the first time since COVID was honestly, give me goosebumps listening to that. You'll Never Walk Alone. Absolutely loved it. And hopefully, despite your performance at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, at least in the first half, it was good to go back and see the boys play.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'll go there through hell and high water because I love them. And however bad we are, I'll still turn up, I'll still buy a pie, and I'll still sing.
Life goes on, Sam. But there we go, guys. Thanks for joining us here tonight on FPL Family. We'll be back, of course, next Sunday, whether we've done good, bad, or indifferent. 8:30.
Can't get any worse.
It can't get any worse. 8:30 next Sunday to look back at all of Game Week 6 actions. Look out for me on the Fantasy Premier League podcast this Thursday with myself and Kelly Sommers usually on that. Until then, have a good week, and we'll see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.